So, to recap, at the end of Perek Lamed Tes, Baal Tanya discussed the fact that even if a person learns Shalei L'shma, does mitzvahs, not for bad motives, but for power of motives, that later on, he can go back and redeem his mitzvahs. And the power of that was that clearly, as we'll see here at the end of this Perek, why it's so important to do things L'shma, and what this business is about the being able to relate it to the inner spheres of each of the Olamas, what that means to us in practical terms. But the bottom line is that no matter what, whether a person can generate the correct motives or not, there's no question that the best thing is to do it. Do it, and if need be, you go back later and elevate it. So let's just do this first part really quickly, and then we'll get through. Ach, kol zman shlechozav olam adav azeh lishma. The entire time that the person did not go back to redeem it, to do it for the correct reason, is ein limudei oila afilu biyud sfiras hameiras ba'olam hayetzira va'asiya. His learning is not elevated even to the 10 spheres of the lower worlds of yetzira and asiya. Why not? Ki asfiras hen b'chinas elikus. Because spheres, that term, those spheres, the 10 spheres, are godliness. And in them, meaning the mitzvahs, are completely unified with Hashem. Without love and fear, meaning mitzvahs that are done without emotion, the person's mitzvahs, the person's Torah study, cannot stand in front of Hashem. It doesn't stand the test of scrutiny. As is written in the Zohar. Rather, where does his learning go? His Torah is elevated to the external components of those worlds, the place where the angels stand. The Reb Chaim Vital writes that a person's Torah study that's done without intent, that type of Torah study creates angels in the third world. And when a person performs mitzvahs, not Torah study, but mitzvahs, without intent, that creates angels in this world. But we must remember that just like people are made up of body and soul, angels are made up of body and soul. But when we're talking about actual Torah, which is done for the wrong reasons, not pariv, mindless, but actual wrong reasons, in order to compete, to be a Torah scholar, it doesn't go anywhere. It does not elevate it at all. It doesn't even touch the world of the angels. It remains here in this world, Hagashmi, in this physical world, Shuhu Madar HaKlipas, this world which is the dwelling place of the Klipas, Kameshu Kosa B'Zoyal, Pasuk, Ma'yisun Adam B'chalam Olesh Yal Matachas HaShemesh. Pasuk says, what value is there in all the toil that a person is going to toil beneath this sun? Says the Zoyal, Da'afilu Amola Doirais, even toil in Torah study. Turn the page to 108. If the person is serving for his own honor, then it remains beneath the sun. And this is where we concluded last week. This is what Chazal say. Fortunate is the person who is able to come up here with his Torah, meaning his Torah doesn't remain down in the world below. He's able to actually come after death and bring his Torah with him. Because if he learns for the wrong reasons, he comes up, his neshama comes up, and his Torah remains down in the world below. Now he says, but this doesn't make any sense. How can this be if Torah we know is made up of sheer godliness? Torah is Chochmas Hashem. So how can you tell me that Torah study or mitzvah performance, which is Ratzon Hashem, remains stuck in the physical world? Why would it remain stuck in a physical world if it is godliness? That's a great question. Let's see it inside. First wide line. After Reisav Kodesh Brichu Kul Echad, even though that Hashem and His Torah are absolutely unified, because we know Shahu Uritzayna Yachal Adar Hashem, and his will, namely his Torah, are one. So he answers, it's not Akasha. He says, I'll prove it to you. Hare Kudshe Brichu Iyu Mimale Kol Almin B'Shava. We know that Hashem suffuses the entire world equally. He's everywhere. V'afal Pikein Einoy Lama Is Shavim B'Malos. I mean, nonetheless, the world is not equal in its godliness. Now, in what way is it not equal in its godliness? Well, first of all, even physically, we know the Kodesh HaKadoshim has greater sanctity than Wells Street does, right? So clearly there's more godliness in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Yerushalayim than there is in Wells Street. But even more than that, he says in the celestial worlds themselves, they're not all equal. Ve'hashinui. So where is the distinction? If you're saying that God suffuses all things equally, so how can there be a distinction between our world and Olam HaAtzilus, where you say there's open, explicit godliness? How can you have such a distinction? He says, "Vashinui hu mehamikablim." The difference isn't from God's vantage point. The difference is from our vantage point. How do you have two people, one person who senses godliness all around them, and another person who lives in a dense world where there's no perceived godliness? It's not a difference from God's vantage point. The difference is from the receivers. One person has sensors, and the other person is dull. He's got calluses on his finger. My grandmother used to be able to take things out of the stove without gloves on. Right? I can't do that. Now, he says, what's more, I want you to understand, the distinction is on two different levels, two critical different levels, because they're going to play themselves out in mitzvahs. Harishain, the first distinction is, the first difference is that there is much greater illumination that they can tolerate. So we understand, for instance, you see by Kriyas Yamsuf, one of the ways that the Svarim describe what happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just revealed his presence. The Jews who had done some mitzvahs were able to tolerate it. They survived. The Egyptians who had done no mitzvahs died from the revelation of godliness. That's one of the ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt, they say, by Sancheriv and other times in Jewish history, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the reasons for our working in Torah mitzvahs here is that when Mashiach comes and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals his presence to the world, we don't all die from exposure. Right? So that's, the first of all is that there are the upper worlds have a much greater illumination that they can tolerate. V'ashenis. The second is shemikablim b'li levushim u'maskim rabim, that they're able to tolerate that greater suffusion of light without barriers, without veils. Right? If you want to look at something very bright, so you put a filter in front of your eyes, you wear sunglasses. Kol kach kibitach tainim. Now, so much, much more so, they have much fewer barriers than do the lower worlds. So the lower worlds have two things. A, we have less illumination. The mashal that he gives, I think he's going to say it here, is the distinction between a rock and an animal. Someone were to say to you, which has a greater life activity? Clearly the dog that's running around has much more life vitality to it than does the rock. Nonetheless, the rock is also sustained. This world, our lowly world, has both ways that it is less. Number one, the first thing is that it has very, very little godly illumination. Therefore, it is crass, it's physical, it's all dense, vigashmi, and it's physical. Vigamzois. What's more, he belevushim umesochim rabim. It has many garments and many masks. Ad shenislabsha beklipas noga, to the point where it comes down to this klipa that we've been talking about throughout the sefer, this power of klipa, which is lahachis kol advarim atoyim shabay lemazeh. It is the physical manifestation of all kosher, permissible things in this world. Ubechlalam, one of those things that is sustained by klipas noga, hu nefesh achiyunis. Hamidaberes Sheba Adam, it is the soul of the speaking soul of man. Ulchein Kishamadaber is Divre Toru Tvila. For this reason, when the soul speaks Divre Toru Tvila Beloi Kavana, without intent, thank you, Af Shehen Oisius Kedushais, even though they are holy letters. Now, one second. So you're dealing with a person who is speaking Devarim Shebekedusha, the words of Torah, the holiest stuff in the world. These are, you know, it's Eish Lahava, right? But ultimately, who's talking? It's a crass, physical person, right? Hello? So when you hit this, it makes a noise, right? There's something there. See, even though it's Isis Kedushas, but V'ein Klippas Neigash HaBenefshach Yunus Mesach Mavdil Klal, at that point, when you're dealing with such holy stuff, there are no barriers, right? Shar Shanagach HaSaparo, right? With the Sugyan Shas, that deals with an ox that's goring a cow, is sheer godliness. There's nothing... there are no barriers. And there's no Mesach Mavda Lahaster, the Chasas Al Kedusha Osi Yisbarach. It's not covering God at all. Hamul Vesh is Bem. Kamei Shem Esteros and Mechasa Al Kedusha Osi Yisbarach Shabenefesh HaChiyunis Kishem Edaberes Dharam Betayim. You can't compare that to when we're talking about the sports news. When we're talking about the sports news, when the human being is talking about the sports news, then man's Kedusha is concealed. When a person is talking Divrei Torah, then the Kedusha is out in the open. Compared to the living soul that's in all living beings. So what's going on? So how is it that those words remain here below? Even though there is no place void of Hashem's presence, Hashem is the concealed of all concealed. He's called the God of concealment. Now, therefore, v'gam ha'ara v'ispashtus achius mimenu yizbarach mistateres b'levushim v'mesochim rabim atzumim. We must understand that when it comes to us physical beings, his illumination, the spreading of his energy, is concealed with innumerous, numerous thousands and tens of thousands of shields, until it comes into that which sustains us, which is this levush, this powerful levush called Klipas Naga. Right? It's able to sustain us, and we can use it for the good, and we can sometimes use it for that which is not so good. But when it comes to holy words that we're speaking of Torah and davening, that's the whole point of Klipas Noiga, is that we could take it, it's the power of area. We could take it, we could use it for the bad, Chas V'Shalom, but we could also use it for Kedusha. So we're elevating it. We must understand that the illumination of those words is concealed in them to the umph degree. Why? Up at the top of Nun Hey, Me'ach Shakoil Vadibu Hu Gashmi. So when you're dealing with secular words, so the voice, the lips, the sound, the vapor, it's all physical. But that's if it's Shaloi Lishma, because they're not infused with Kavana. But when we daven with the correct intent, we study with the correct intent, then we are the ones infusing those words with Kedusha. Because this is a critical point. What's the cause? Why are we learning? We're learning because we understand that Torah is the method to connect to God. The words are the result of the motivation. The motivation is, I want to connect. Motivation is Kodesh. When the motivation is correct, then the result connects. Obisibasa, because of that intent, humadabra, he says, that's why I'm speaking these words. And lechein, for that reason, according to what we discussed in last week's chapter, 2 weeks ago, that the point is that if a person learns it with the natural love and fear, then it goes up to a certain point. If a person learns it because of the actual experience, love and fear, then he's even able to elevate it higher, because that's where it's coming from. That's the source. The source is coming from the love of that world. As we explained earlier, can this parallel? Visham meir miskala or insayf baruch hu shuratzen elyon baruch hu amalovish ba'isisatari. In that world, there is an open, revealed energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is that which is guiding and energizing and causing me to speak those words right now. Shalaimat ubikavanosan. And with their intent, I betzvila bekavanasa, the words of Torah or davening bekavana, I be mitzvah bekavanasa or any other mitzvah. That's why it's so critical to take a moment and pause before we do a mitzvah, before we do something, to ponder why we're doing it. Ba'ari gedela ein keitz. It's infused with an incredible light. Mashla yochel laheus galus klal ba'idias is mitzvah by the mazagashmi. That life source, that energy source is not available in this world at all. Ad es ketzi yamin, until Mashiach comes, she is alel in the Megal Shmi Yosei. When will it be available in this world? When Mashiach comes and Hashem lifts the barrier of Gashmias v'nigle kved Hashem, and Hashem's presence will be revealed. Kinizbal el bariches, as he explained earlier at length. Now, I saw as follows. What's bothered me here about this is there seems to be a contradiction. He spent 3-4 chapters talking about Dira B'tachtayim, that it's all about the physical mitzvahs, that Hashem wants us acting physically, performing the mitzvahs physically. Now you're saying that without intent, it's not happening. There's nothing going on. It's not a B'galav Sotah. How do these jive? How do you have both these things together? So I was looking around, and I saw referenced in the Likutei Sichos from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. This goes back to the very, very early years, because it's volume 4 of, I don't know what, 50-something volumes. And they were still printed in Yiddish in those times. And he explains here, again, based on other writings from the Balatanya, that there are two, let's use the terms dira b'tachtayim. What a dira b'tachtayim means? A dira, as we refer to it in Israel, is an apartment, a dwelling place, right? You can create a dwelling place, but the dwelling place is not a comfortable dwelling place. It's not a lichtig dwelling place. It's not a dwelling place where a person feels at home. There are two components in the creation of this dwelling place. One of them is asiyas ha-mitzvahs. Kiyum ha-mitzvahs. Kiyum ha-mitzvahs gashmi specifically. And that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to create a dwelling place. The kavana, the attitude that we do it with, creates the comfort in the dwelling place. It creates the light. It creates the gilui, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be sensed, can feel at home, kaviyachol, in the dwelling place. So they're not a contradiction at all. And again, the phenomenal gift that he clued us in at the end of the last parak is that even if we didn't do it right for years and years, if we go back and do it right once, we're able to elevate all of those kiyama mitzvahs so that they're all lined up and corrected. And that's why you find the concept of tshuva even by the greatest of tzaddikim. Because tshuva is not only tshuva for chatoim. Tshuva is going back every year Yom Kippur and seeing in the right things we did we do them right enough? And thereby elevating those things. And it's a lifelong process. The more we get to know about the Ribbono Shel Olam and his world, the better we can improve our kiyama mitzvahs, the more elevating we're doing, the more the mitzvahs continue to improve. Let's just finish up how he puts this into the language of the Zohar, and these are terms that you'll see throughout Svarim. This terminology. Ubezeh yuvin heitiv. With what we've just introduced here about this whole concept of elevating mitzvahs to their status, we understand hod dechila v'rechimu nikroim gadfin. We find throughout the Zohar that love and awe are referred to as gadfin. Gadfin mean wings. Okay? Derech Moshel, Kedichsiva B'shtayim Yoifa, like we find by the angels, it says they have two wings that allow them to fly. The wings of birds. Hen Zirayos Adam, Chaim Vital writes that they are the arms of a man. Ubitikunim Pirish. The Tikkun Zoyer writes, Sha'iskim Torah Mitzvahs B'dechilu V'rechimu. This is famous, we say this with Rosh Hashanah by Davin, Im Kibonim, Im Kavadim. That, what's the difference between if we're serving Hashem like Bonim or we're serving like Avadim? Says the Zoyer. Somebody who studies Torah Mitzvahs out of love, B'dechilu V'rechimu, Nikroim Bonim. Then we're children. Vim Lav. If not, says the Zoyer, Nikroim Efreichim D'Leyochlin Leparcha. We're called birds that cannot fly. What's the comparison? What's the tushta? Says the Baal Tanya, we're fifth line on page 110. Ki kemoi shekanfe ha'oif einam ikir ha'oif. Just like the wings of a bird are not essential to the bird. Ve'en chiyusei tola behem klal, and his life source is not dependent upon the wings. Ki ditnan, he proves it halachically. The halach is nitlo agfea kshera, that even if you were to clip off the wings of a bird, the bird is kosher. The main component of the bird is its head and its body. The purpose of the wings is only to serve the head and the body to fly. This is a critical element. The performance of Torah and Mitzvahs is the main unifier of HaKadosh Baruch Hu above. What does that mean? This is again a very powerful thing, and it explains why we say Shemoneh Esrei after Shema. It explains why women say Yiratzen after candle lighting. It explains why we say Harachmans after benching. Why you have so many tefillahs that are stated right around mitzvahs. What's the point? Because when a person performs a mitzvah, they create a yichud elyon. They create a unity above. So he says as follows. If you want to appeal to a person's deepest place, it's not their outward emotion. It's their essential self. Right? You want to really get to someone. You get to something that's very, very personal to them. For instance, one of the worst places to hit is to insult somebody about their parents. Right? In marriage, that's the worst thing you could do is tell somebody, well, you're a father, right? That's, or you're a mother. Because that's essential. It's part of the essential building blocks. That's Ratzon always precedes choice. I can make choices. Do I want fleches? Do I want milchings? Do I want potato chips? Do I want ice cream? Those are choices. But about essence, that goes deeper. That's a step before choice. That's called rotzen. When we refer to mitzvahs as rotzen Hashem, we're going to a place that precedes midas, that precedes Hashem's midas. And as a result, when we touch kav yochel, that place called rotzen, there's something called an ace rotzen. That's why it's referred to as a time of will, a time of desire from on high. So he says, through the rotzon of Hashem, which is revealed when a person does a mitzvah. When we do a mitzvah correctly, with love and with fear, we do it in such a manner that it touches that place, Kaviyachal, where Hashem's Ratzon is revealed. HaRatzon are in Seif Baruch Hu Vayichud Shen Yetziru Vriya. That's the concept of this Ratzon Elyon. V'hine, Avti Dechila V'rechimu Hem Gam Kimitarik Mitzvah. He asks a brilliant question. How can love and fear be wings if they are mitzvahs on their own? Love of Hashem is one of the Tarayag Mitzvahs. And fear of Hashem is one of the Tarayag Mitzvahs. So how are you turning them here into non-critical components of other mitzvahs. After the chiyuv l'rechim and gam kimitayig mitzvahs, afal pikein, despite that nikron gadfin, they're called wings. Liyos kitachlis ahava. This is incredible and controversial. Tachlis ha'ahava hi ha'avoida me'ahava. The goal of the mitzvah of ahava is service. This business about I love God, but I'm not observant is a crock. The tachlis ha'ahava is avoida me'ahava, is only if it leads to a person who serves out of love. V'ahava b'li avoida. If there is someone who's able to experience love without service, that's a whole different category. Love, it's called Yahava B'tanugim. That's a person who's delighting in the love of Hashem, Lis Anigal Hashem, a person who enjoys his relationship with Hashem, Me'ina Elam Abba. It's similar to what goes on in the world to come. In the world to come, there's no Avaida, right? It's just basking in delight of having a relationship with Hashem. So there are people who, even in this world, the Gemara refers to it, Alam Chatira Bechayacha, the Gemara says. It's a person who's able to get a glimpse of his world to come in this world. The Kabbalah Schar, it's the concept of the world to come. A lot of people ask, what's the whole point of the world to come? It's the world of Ahavim Etanugim, of receiving reward. V'hayom La'saisim Ksiv, as the Torah says, do the Aveda today. Ulamacha, the Kabbal Scharam, tomorrow we get the reward. But for the rest of us, person who has not arrived at this attribute to taste the taste of a glimpse of the world to come. The person yearns and thirsts for Hashem. He calls Sa'ilam Kala Yom and he pines for him all day long. But that person never bothers to taste, to quench his thirst with the words of Torah that are in front of him. He says, "Areze kamisho emid binar." It's like a person who's standing in the river. Vitzoyek mayim mayim lishtes. Give me some water to drink. If you're thirsty, go drink. What are you screaming water for? So too, kidefi pshuta ain't moving. Doesn't make any sense. The person who's yearning and thirsty to learn, obviously he'll go learn. why is the Navi screaming? Like, wake up. He says the reason it's like that is because there are people who do this. There are people who are standing in the water. They're screaming, I'm thirsty, and they never bother to bend down and drink the water. So you have people who are thirsting for godliness. The Torah is sitting there in front of them and never open a sefer to quench their thirst. So it's a person who's misguided in their ahava. Their ahava doesn't lead them to act. And that's misguided love. The love has to be that which causes the person to act. Mentions here about the different types of Torah in the last footnote on 110. Which is just an interesting thing. I have no idea what it means, but it's really cool. He writes here, look at the last Haggadah there, that the Yichud is in Yitzira and in Bria. So he says, a person's actions create ratzin in this physical world. V'chein mikra, so too chumash. Now halachically, a person who learns chumash is yoytze the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, even if he doesn't understand anything you say. That's why every one of us can be yoytze with Krishna. Because chumash is of the nature of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah with Chumash, is even if you don't understand. Mishnah, Mizgala Yichud Varen Sefer Chubi Yitzira. The light of Mishnah, because it's straight, curt halacha, not a whole lot of intellectual depth. That extends out into Yetzirah. Ubitalnod, the Gemara extends Bibriya. Dainisha Belimud Mikre Mispashat Yichud Varin Saibarach Umatzilis Adasiya. It goes, Chumash extends over all the world. Mishnah Adi Yetzirah Levad. The Mishnah goes only until Yetzirah. Ubitalmud Adabriya Levad. Ubitalmud, it goes all the way up to Briya. Kikulam Ba'atzilis. All of them extend to Atzilis. Look at this. Avam Kabbalah. The Arizal writes that Kabbalah does not extend to the other worlds. And they explain that there is no Havana by Kabbalah. That it's just the explanation of the fact that the person really ultimately cannot wrap their heads around understanding Kabbalah. You can understand the structure of it, but it's impossible to understand it. A sugi and shas, a person can come to a clear understanding of. Bottom line is that what he's telling us here is that this isn't only about Olam Haba and spooky stuff, but ultimately, even in our creating a dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyochel in this world, the quality of what we create is categorically different if we perform mitzvahs with seichel and if we perform mitzvahs without kavanah. And one of the things is that the Svara mentioned and brought in Reshus Chachma and the other early Musar works is that a Rasha who learns Torah actually sustains and feeds the powers of evil. And a corrupt person is going to say, well, if that's the case, I'm not touching anything religious because I don't want to be responsible for feeding the demons. He says, that's corrupt. Because ultimately, our business is to do the Tzivui Hashem. If the Mekubalim say that it's feeding, I'll have to go back and redeem it later. But right now, on a certain level, you can't look at those effects. You have to do what you got to do. And if the Rebbe Shlom says, I have a commandment of to study Torah, then I have a commandment to study Torah. The excuses of I'm not worthy, it's beyond my pay grade or whatever it is, and you know this is. That stuff doesn't hold. It doesn't hold water. We need to do what we have to do at any given time. We should go back and do tshuva when we get greater knowledge. We should go back and rectify it. But ultimately, that cannot be used as an excuse. Should we pause for a minute before we sit down and learn to have a thought of tshuva? Absolutely. We want to be able to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the greatest amount of nachas ruach possible. But beyond that, when this kind of stuff gets in the way of our performance, we know that we've stepped out of line. Have a good night, y'all.